Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast, powered once again by our partners at Code. You're on once again with Chizo, and with me tonight, I have my best friend in the entire world. It's Pistol, mate. How you going?
That was very sweet of you. I'm feeling a bit better now after that opening. So, I'm feeling a bit better. You're feeling a bit better. JB's not feeling too much better, unfortunately.
Yeah, no. He's still cook.
Yeah, so we're happy we can get back into podcasting this week. It was, yeah, sickness shared. We had a nice catch-up where we just infected each other with the illness. So glad that's out of the way. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. How did the catch-up go, Pistol? I sadly had to miss out with sickness myself. I saw some nice photos with you with a cake.
It was unbelievable. It was great. For those that don't know, we had a bit of a Dr. Supercoach patron catch-up. Our first one had a nice venue, a nice bar tab, some nice food. Everything was nice and great, and it was awesome to meet all sorts of people that, you know, came from close and far. And yeah, it was just a fantastic day and night, and I honestly can't wait until we can do it again.
Mate, I need you to clear something up. It's been told to me down the grapevine that you were home before the streetlights had come on. Can you confirm or deny that accusation?
Streetlights were off, but I did leave a little bit earlier. I didn't stay out all night. Just, you know, getting prepped for my 30th birthday the next day. So, you know, you wake up a bit sorer when you get a bit older, Chizo.
I wouldn't know. I'm definitely not older than you. Hey, mate, we've had some feedback from people in Patreon saying that I don't deliberately ask you how your week was enough and you don't get to elaborate. So, Pistol, how did your week go? What score happened? Did you have your wits about you this week? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Very good. So my week started fantastic. The early games were great. PODs flying, Sinclair, Steele, just off the bat, big scores. And then it all came crashing down on the Sunday, as it usually does. Ended with a 2-4-1-1. I still moved up inside the top 10K for the first time this season, which feels like a milestone, but I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest, because I captained Wits for one of his lowest scores of the season. The 78 points, and literally any other player except for English would have yielded more points than him for me this week as captain, and I lost my cash league by 1 point. So not happy, Jan, at all. It was a little bit of a working late on Friday, so didn't quite hit the lockout well on the Friday, but I didn't really care because I wasn't really going to VC anyone in that first game. But then my options were significantly limited after I didn't have Sinclair, Steele, McRae, Bontempelli, English, Dunkley. I was like, oh, half my team is locked out. And then I was like, well, I'll just do like Darcy into Took Miller. That's fine. And then what happened was I started to panic about Took Miller being tagged. And I was like, well, Witz has been, you know, pretty good. He's only had, you know, two bad games for the whole season. And I'll just take 100 flat at this point. And it went incredibly poorly, and I have huge regrets. And yeah, basically lost lots of points, and that's all she wrote, really. I could have had a very nice 2600 this week, but I decided to use two trades to bring in Taranto as an M9 rather than doing the older Oliver to Laird and Captain Laird, which was an early week plan. I'm happy I have Taranto as cover. I think that will be really good for the rest of the season. But I've now lost like 160 or 170 points because of that decision in total. So not great, but still moved up. So I'll take it.
What is with you panic trading in GWS midfielders? Can you explain? If it's not Jelly, it's Taranto. If it's not Taranto, it's trading out Cogs when he becomes good. Oh, I don't know. So I just worry about you sometimes.
I started with Whitfield and Pruce and Canelio, but I had such a bad time with all of them that I traded all of them out. And I've used my last like two upgrades to trade in Himmelberg and Taranto. I'm like, oh, I just keep going back to that well. And I mean, Himmelberg's been going great, but I'm a bit worried. Just like what's going to happen next. Like it feels like it's just a poison water and I'm like being sucked in and then it's going to be like mass restings in the last 2 weeks and both Taranto and Himmelberg are going to be rested and I'm going to be like, why do I do this to myself every year?
Yeah.
But you know, I was going to say this won't be the last time because I'll probably start Himmelberg next season. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
How did you go, Chiso?
I had it. At 2358 for me, I went up a total of 4 solitary ranks this week. So it's getting tight in the mid 13,000s there, Pistol. We're all fighting it out in there. 3 trades remaining, Rich and Oliver on the bench. And the cover of Hoff, Bazo and Ware. Just kind of... Yeah, I don't have Taranto to come on for my Olivers there, Pistol. I do have to say that I could have used one of those 3 trades, but I feel like if I had done that, 2 wouldn't have been enough to get me through to the end of the year. I feel like things are ramping up, so to speak, and we could be losing a lot of our players in the coming weeks.
It's interesting. We went different ways. I was like, I'm going to go down to 1 trade but have Taranto cover, and you wanted to keep the trades for more, I guess, pressing needs in the future. So I guess we'll see what happens. We're pretty close in rank. I've jumped JB now, so happy about that.
Ooh!
But it's definitely going to be a battle between you and I for the rest of the season.
Nah, mate, I'm cooked. The team's done. We do have 3 brand new patrons to shout out now. I've got Chris Grundy, Alex Siblard, and JB. Now, I'm just wondering if this is his alt account so he can start spying on the new patrons.
He just wants some advice. He's like sick of giving the advice. He's like, I'm just going to sign up and then actually, you know, pay attention and get our advice this time.
Hey, you know, it's actually probably a good thing if he's just DMing himself. It does take the strain off the rest of the people that have to see his comments in Slack all day. Thank you for those that are signing up so late in the season. We obviously really do appreciate your support. Pistol, the cup has progressed. We've only got 32 coaches left remaining. We're into round 5, getting towards the pointy end. Sadly, no podcasters are left. We've got some prizes heading out to those that knocked us all out. I couldn't go all the way again this year. And we've got some Cancer Council donations to just before we wrap up housekeeping. Pistol, we've got Jason, a donation, and AZDRSC Levitsky. Well, I stayed strong until this point, but Parrish out for 4 brings my total trades wasted on injuries to 12, and that's worth a donation. Looking forward to 2023. Aren't we all, Az? Pistol, last
I like how you said AZ. Given I always incorrectly name things clearly as, right?
Yeah. It's still not as bad as Christian Salim. The last piece we have is Prize League for the month of June. Pistol, we had some big, big scores and some names that knocked you out of the cup making into the top three for Prize League for last month must make you feel a little bit better.
I don't know if that's better or worse, given JB did the draw and probably could see that some players were in absolute fighting form and then I had to come up against them and get knocked out by them. But congratulations to the winner of June. I know we're a bit late. Sorry, missed podcast last week. And that is Coach Nicholas of The Revolution, having 10,917 points across June. And second was Zach DRSC Fibonator with 10,896. And second, who just pipped Huggies Heroes, Coach Wayne, who knocked me out of the cup with 10,876 points. So all super. That's one of the tightest, months that we've had this whole season. So great stuff. They've all flown absolutely up the ranks lately, and hopefully for them that continues next month.
Absolutely, Pistol. We do have a random lucky draw for this month, and the prize for the lucky draw for the month of June is Blackie White. So Black on White, high ranking super coach player as well. So we'll be getting some merch coming your way, mate. Just make sure to DM me your details in Slack and we'll get those out to you. Pistol, we're going to finally talk about some Supercoach. Even this late in the year, we've still got lots of housekeeping to do. Mate, there has been an onslaught of messages in game day about just how far we're going to throw Paddy Cripps off a cliff at the end of this season. Because, like, I can understand falling into a trap at the start of the year and then it just, like, not like he just didn't perform like we thought he would. But to actually start the year in mind-bogglingly good form, and we're like, yeah, he's probably going to slow down to maybe, like, 110, 115, and so we should pick him up now. But to slow down to, like, an 80 average, it gives me, like, shakes. I can't control my hands. Just how furious it's making me inside that we've been sucked into the trap again.
Since round 9, he's only had 2 scores above 100, and before round 9, because there was no warning whatsoever, his 3 games before that was a 139, a 138, and a 151. So it came out of nowhere. It was like, boom, here we go. I think Pidney went down and, Cripps' season was pretty much over. And that's all she wrote and destroyed our Supercoach years. And if we had potentially taken our own advice and not got him at the beginning of the year and kept to it, then we may have been better off. But is what it is. I don't think anyone's getting to round 8 seeing him average 125 at like 520k and thinking that's going to be a bad trade-in. But this is how it all turns out.
Yeah. So talk to me about, we've got a few players that, like yourself, had the option to use a couple of trades to shore up that kind of missing player that you had last week. We've got coaches this week that have similarly, 3, 4, 5 trades where they're at a position where they can make sort of an aggressive play. Are we at the point right now? We've mentioned it in previous weeks. Is this the point where we're close enough to the end of the season where Paddy Cripps is someone that we should be looking to optimize?
Absolutely. If you have the trades and you've got some cash in the bank, or even if you don't, I'd probably still look to trade him. Not if you have like 2 trades, then don't, and then just maybe give it another week and then reassess if you have any injuries. But certainly, if you have 3 or more, you could probably spare one to trade on Cripps. Jack Steele is 560k and Mills is only 570k, and they're both top tier, midfielders. So if you can grab them first, that would be where I would lean. Chizo, if you don't have any budget and you're looking for some, I guess not any budget, but if you have only a little bit more cash than Cripps, is there somewhere else you would be looking? Maybe you wouldn't even look in the midfield. Could you do some DPP switcheroos and get some value in another line?
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm thinking along those lines. Like, we've got so many DPPs both forward and back that it gives us the opportunity to sort of, towards the end of the season, we don't need to be heavily reliant on these role gold players. It gives us the opportunity to kind of take someone that's kind of hit that purple patch of form and sort of ride that wave, so to speak, towards the end of the year. And I thought it would be really good if we went through just some forward, maybe some forward and back options in this instance, to maybe find some nuggets of gold in the rough there that we could maybe use as that DPP for Paddy Cripps.
All right, well, speaking of nuggets, I'm going to go first because someone I was mentioned in Slack last week and I was really excited by and kind of looks like a nugget. That would be Dylan Moore, forward. He is probably a surprising pick to those that have not watched many Hawks games, but in the last 2 weeks, he's moved into the midfield and looked really, really good. He's you know, got an eye for goal. He can kick goals, but when he plays as a midfield, he's actually like a hard nut, can get the inside clearances and can also finish on the outside, which makes him a really dangerous midfielder. So I think Hawthorn are going to keep using him there. The last two rounds he's had 60% and 61% CBAs, and his Supercoach scores have been really good. He scored 113 last week, and the week before that he scored 135. Now Hawthorn play North Melbourne this week, St Kilda, Gold Coast, Richmond and Bulldogs, potentially no more finalists, depending on how the ladder plays out, probably one. But I think all of those teams are decent matchups for Dylan Moore going forward. And he's really only in 2.9% of teams. So I think at 513K, you could do a lot worse than swinging around some DPP and grabbing Dylan Moore as a smoky to try and, you know, get you some decent points on the way home.
Yeah, someone a little bit more expensive than that, towards 550, if you do have a little bit of cash in the bank, is Connor Rosie. I was one of the people that thought that he would be a flash in the pan moving into the midfield, and this is just another thing that I've been totally incorrect about in 2022. He's just been phenomenal. Like it doesn't even pay me to say that, because watching him play is just like, we picked the wrong forward port player. Where's JB when we need him to actually give us a good port player to pick from in our sides? Yeah, since he's moved into the midfield, I think he's been absolutely fantastic. And that role shows no sign of showing up since round six. I think since round six, he's averaging 60-plus percent in CBA. So he's another one sort of left field, like a lot of the big guns in terms of the Bonts and Liberatore and these kind of guys, they're all the common suspects that we've all got. I think he's another sort of like pick towards the end of the season that can really help your team sort of stand out. Pistol, in the defense line, we'll go to one of my boys. I was going to say,
before you jump into the next one, Rosie kind of reminds me of like Degoe from last season, where like he had a role change in like round, I think it was like 14 or 15, and then was peppering, like, I think he had high 80 scores, and then just was like, bang, you know, like 115 average for the rest of the season. And Rosie's kind of coming across similarly, but he's just actually good at football, so he's scoring very well in Supercoach. And I think he's a fire pick. I will say, Chizo, embarrassingly, in my dream team, I did trade out Rosie. I traded him in, and then I traded him out after a couple of bad games, which is very embarrassing, and now he's dominating. I traded him for Parrish as well, which is also pretty funny, given we know how that's ended up. So, yeah, fun facts.
You told me that you would... You told me you'd never play DT again after you lost that competition and came second by a wrong captaincy choice.
No, I came fourth.
When did
fourth.
You started playing DT again?
I came fourth. No.
Oh, that's
just
right.
Not as for fun. Not as serious anymore. No, I've only got one true love, and that's Supercoach. I mean, my wife. No, it's Supercoach. All right, it's fine.
I hope Mrs. Pistol.
She's not listening.
That.
Well, she actually might be, to be honest, but it's fine.
Mate, doesn't listen to your podcast. In the defense, one of my boys, Mason Redmond, someone that I picked up in draft when he started this purple patch and has stormed me into some prelim finals in the OG Keeper League in Slack. He's been on absolute fire. And you asked me previously what I thought he was doing. And it's almost like we've seen a rebirth. I don't think he's playing any specific different role. It's not like he's taking 90% of the kick-ins and he's got a high floor because of that. I think he's just certainly come into his own and becoming that player that, as an Essendon supporter, we sort of saw kind of bubbling under the surface but didn't really think he was going to take it to the next level. But he just sort of has this over... all-round game now, Ree. He's a good one-on-one, really aggressive, doesn't want to lose in these defensive scenarios. He's also good on the exit. I didn't used to think he was great by foot, but he's being used a lot more this year, so he's getting a lot of mark kick exits out of the back line. He does also get a few kick-ins, sharing that with Ridley, as he has done previously. And if you're looking for hot form, it's like a 120 average or something over the last three or four pistol. It's just been on absolute fire as the Essendon resurge.
I can't believe how well he's been scoring. Like, it's not someone that's like, you know, an exceptional footballer. So usually when you have a five-round average of 120, like, that's consistently really good. And he is playing just really well, which is great. And, you know, hopefully for Don Fancy can keep it up. But since round six, he's had 109 average. So it's not even like it is a purple patch, but it's better. It's not better. It's just more, it's prolonged. Longer term. Yeah, prolonged. Thank you. I got there in the end with your help. The prolonged scoring doesn't mean that you're going to trade in someone who's going to turn to a potato the next week. Like, yeah, fine, whatever. He might average 100 for the rest of the season, but he also might average 120, and both of those options are still good. So I'm a fan of the pick, and I just can't believe it, honestly. He's in 0.8% of teams. It's insane.
Yeah, yeah. It just flying underneath the radar in terms of, like, the household names that people are used to picking obviously come to the table first, and you can really easy sort by like 3 or 5 round average and look for the big names and just kind of gloss over Mason Redmond sitting on that table. But as you said, a little bit of a prolonged period now that we can be confident that this purple patch is going on. I do want to talk about Mason Redmond, for example, is 565,700. Someone that's cheaper than that everyone has been talking about for a little while, Harry Himmelberg, defensive forward, DPP, is only 549,300. So he's even cheaper than Mason Redmond. It'd be hard to, you could make an argument for picking Redmond over top of Himmelberg, but the way that he's been going in the last few weeks, the fact that you can get him cheaper... in fact, you won't even shut up about him. He's been so good for your side. I'm disappointed I didn't have an injury so I could pick him up.
No, he... that's a funny point, actually. But he has been so good in the back line. The problem is he still gets pushed forward, or like a ruck centre half forward role in the last quarter of every game since the North Melbourne game, where he played entirely in the back line. So rounds 14, 15, 16, 17 and 18, he's had a weird kind of role in the last part of the game. He happened to kick a goal and play really well against Brisbane in that last part of the game, so he was on like 102 at three-quarter time, and that pushed to the 130 score. But in the last few games, he just hasn't scored at all after three-quarter time, and, you know, he's put low tons or 95s, 98s. I just think that presents a lot of upside in case, you know, he does get four quarters. But at the same time, Williams, if he plays, you know, a half forward instead of a quarter forward, and what does that impact on his scoring? Negatively, of course. I think I might feel safer with another pick, but I do think he is like a good value option as well. So, yeah, maybe Chiso, there might be a Collingwood player that might be a little bit better, perhaps, as a selection.
Better is a big term when you're saying Harry Himmelberg in the same sentence this year, but we have talked about Paddy Cripps, only 501.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
1,000 thereabouts rounding up. If you don't have any cash to go anywhere and you do want to do some DPP, someone that we earmarked a few weeks ago, Maynard, has sort of had a resurgence after a slow start to the year. If you've got no cash, he looks like one of the better options at about that price that you could look at if you are looking to do that DPP towards the back line. How have you seen his game progress as the year's gone on, Pistol, as a Collingwood fanboy?
You've thrown me because I was going to talk about Nick Dacos, but I'm loving that you brought up Maynard as well.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I picked up thrown. What you were saying and I was like, I know exactly where you're going. I got you, mate. Don't worry about it. Turns out I had no idea what I was talking about.
No, look, Maynard, as we said a couple of weeks ago, cheap option, pumping out the hundreds flat. You know, that's fine. That's what we expect. I think it's a totally fine selection, but I was going to talk about the 40 possession, 3-goal hero. You know, maybe Supercoach isn't my one true love. Maybe it's Nick Dacos. I mean, he's phenomenal. As a first-year player and as a Collingwood supporter, it's like it's a dream come true having him in our side. I could go on a lot more, so I'll keep it short. But since round 12, he's put together a 113, 112, 93, 143, 99, 163 as a defender. Five-round average of 122. This form is beyond anything I could imagine. I mean, obviously, I traded him out after his 59 in round 11 and missed all of those good scores, which sucks, but I'm happy for the Pies, and he looks, I was going to say, like a really good Supercoach option, but Chizo, when you have 40 touches and 3 goals and you're playing 50, I guess, split from the halfback flank and then the midfield, what comes next? Like, what happens in the future games?
I honestly have no idea
where I'm going with this. Yeah, you're not going to guess. I've burnt you once, and now you're like, I'm not guessing.
I'm not picking that up.
you're gonna get cop attention. I don't see how, you know, against Swans, if Ryan Clark's in the side, yeah, I think he's going to get a tag, as you said, against the Swans, like Ryan Clark in round 22, perhaps. There could be some attention, you know, in any of these games. I mean, Essendon have run with players. They tried to run with Took for 3/4 at least of the game. It's very possible that every game, pretty much on the run home, just is like, yeah, I'm not letting a halfback flank have 40 touches and 3 goals. We're just going to put some pressure on him and see what happens. So I don't feel super safe buying him, but if I owned him, I definitely would be thrilled and just not super worried about it.
Yeah. And the thing that kind of blows me away, this is like just off Supercoach topic for a sec, that you can have those sort of stats from half back. It just, and particularly in the weather that they were playing in, it just blows my mind. Like I totally agree that he's going to be something special and probably locked into our teams for next year if this is the first of, you know, second year breakout. But if you don't have enough money to get Nick Dacos, what do you think about Brad Maynard?
Did you say Brandon Maynard? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brandon Maynard's good. You know, I think 100 average is fine. That's totally fine. I mean, I probably...
Okay, cool.
Probably think it's okay. That's okay. I was going to say, like, Coleman is in really good form, but we're going to have Zorko and Rich return, so I'd kind of like to see how that plays out and impacts Coleman, so I'd probably stay away from there. I still think if you're going, like, really, really cheap, as we discussed last podcast, May is just good value at 428k. He's now put together, after his 108, he's put together 97 and an 89. It's probably going to be peppering those low 90 scores, and at that price, that's probably all you need for that coverage sort of spot. So yeah, that's probably it on the form players there, Chizo.
Okay, all right. I'm so glad that you backed me up there, mate. I really, really appreciate it. Then the next topic, we've kind of talked about Crisp and inadvertently talked about a lot of these form players that are like mildly kind of tied into what you might want to do with Paddy Cripps. We'll talk about another player that fell into people's laps. And Pistol, that is another one of your boys in Darcy Cameron. We had people that were struggling with ruck options, and we were a little bit off the Darcy Cameron train, didn't really believe the hype. A lot of people have bought into it and ridden that wave, and they're super happy with it. And now they're sort of at the situation where they're trying to get off that train. Where do you sit on the fence? Because we've got a couple high-ranked coaches that even today asked what they should do with Darcy Cameron. Should they be moving him on? Should they be, you know, plonking him into R2 and bringing in a forward? What are your thoughts? Is it time to sort of move him on? Because it feels like we've hit a peak for him.
Yeah, so as I feel like I've had to say on every podcast, Darcy Cameron's made us eat our words every week. He's just been phenomenal for the Pies and phenomenal for Supercoach purposes. You know, he's averaged 100+ for those that did take the jump and leap of faith, and it's been awesome that it's paid off. And how's the timing? Grundy slated for a return either this week or next week, and Paddy Ryder ruled out for 4 to 6 weeks, and now Marshall is going to be sole ruck when we know he's like a 110+ sole ruck for Saints. He's got forward ruck eligibility as of last week, and he's falls straight in the lap as a straight trade for the Darcy Cameron owners. I mean, the stars are aligned or what? I mean, absolutely blessed, those owners, and I'm very jealous of them, but also pretty happy. Like, how often does that perfect transition happen? Like, never. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's literally not something you could have planned for. So you're saying that we've just had news tonight that Paddy Ryder out from 4 to 6, and we know what Marshall's like as a sole ruck.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be straightforward as that. We were talking about forward options before, and I do agree, like, Rosie and Moore have probably, you know, 110 upside. But Marshall's shown us time and time again that when he's sole ruck, he's just the man. Like, he's awesome as a sole ruck. And I'd probably be going Marshall above all of them as a sole ruck. I mean, he was sole ruck a couple of rounds ago in round 15 against Swans and scored 156. Like, he's got the ceiling, he's got the past history, and everything has lined up perfectly fine. He just got DPP, so he can also cover your rucks. I mean, my God. It's just the perfect storm, absolutely.
So you're saying that he's maybe your number one option in... Like, you've got the opportunity to sort of pick between any of the... Let's say you've got some cash in the bank, you can trade Darcy Cameron to any one of the rucks right now. I sort of don't have the confidence in any of the other guys. Like, Witz has let me down since I've had him in my team. Darcy is not... no. Darcy's not doing his thing. Gawn's coming back from injury. Grundy's coming back from injury at some point. There really is no one in the ruck roulette that stands out more like Rowan Marshall. I've just put up a tweet from Freako. Last six scores without Paddy Ryder: 156, 124, 120, 73, 123, 158 for an average of 126 across those six games. There is the potential that people are going to jump off Darcy Cameron straight into a Marshall, and literally the planets could not have aligned better.
It's comical, but also, like, I love it for those people. Like, that's awesome. It's so cool that it just worked out that way. So I'd be, if Grundy's named, I'd be making a trade. If he's not named, I'd probably wait 1 week just in case you need a trade for another LTI or whatever it might be, because I think I think as soon as Grundy's back in the team, I think Cameron's dead as an option. So it will have to be done.
Dead.
At some stage. It's just dead as a super coach option, I should say. It's clear in terms of Ruckman, there's no option that's going to be better than Marshall. I mean, even Riley O'Brien, they're letting Phil Thorpe develop in the ruck, so that was a risk with Rob. Even out of the forwards, there's risk with Moore and Rosie, and I still think Marshall's probably the better option out of all of them. Maybe Rosie's kind of up there. It's that one's a bit closer. And then all the way in the back line, Marshall's probably still the best option. I think the only people that are better options are probably, like, you know, Jack Steele and Callum Mills. I think Marshall is probably the number one trading option. I probably would get him for, you know, Crisp, Short, all these guys. Marshall's a gun as a sole ruck.
Yeah. I'm super happy that I convinced my mate. The same mate that was going to trade Oliver, I got him to swap Big O to Marshall last week so he wouldn't miss a donut. Now I feel like a genius. just to add to that, Darcy Cameron, 515K, break even at 130, the potential to duck below 500,000 next week. Does that play into your thoughts in any way about you know, what you might do with Rowan Marshall? He's not going to go up with in a lot of cash, and he's only 460 at the moment. So I guess that doesn't play too much into it, but that you would still hold on to him for a week, even though he's got that break even.
Yeah, I mean, depends. Like, if you need the money, then do it. But otherwise, just to be safe, I probably would just maybe wait 1 week. I mean, how many points are you going to lose? Like 30 points max? And Cameron can also always come out with a really good score just because of the role that he plays in the Collingwood side. I just would be worried, you know, touch wood, that there's, you know, an LTI in another position and you're like, oh, well, I'd rather spend my trade on LTI than someone who's fit and playing in Cameron. So something to at least think about, but I do have full faith. And I should say as well, Marshall has injury risk. He's not like
this,
as much as he might be the best trading option, that's only because there's 5 weeks left of the season. He is very injury prone, and I wouldn't be shocked if he cops an injury in the last 5 weeks. Like, that is a very real possibility as well.
Yeah, he's not absolutely guaranteed to hit that 120 that he's averaged without Paddy Ryder. He's obviously, he plays significantly better without him, but you know, we're sort of, the form is not there. I think the last game that you mentioned was round 15 where he played Sydney without Paddy Ryder. So the last game before that was in round 5. So there's only a couple games here and there where he has played without Paddy Ryder, and those numbers do look incredibly fancy, but still important to remember that he does have those risks associated with it, and just like the ruck roulette this year, he could fall into that bracket. So while we're pumping him up here, Pistol, we don't want to make it seem like it's a sure thing. It has to be weighed up figure side entirely. Pistol, I think that wraps it up really well.
Awesome. I think if you got some potential a rookie discussion there?
Yeah, I do actually there, Pistol. We do have a few names to talk about. Obviously, we had Cully on the weekend that absolutely smashed it with a 90. How many had he? He had 10 tackles or something like that in his first game for the Eagles 12, against the Hawks.
Heaps.
He's obviously had some low time on ground, so that even bodes even better for him. Playing a little bit sort of like a forward role at times, and then rotating up the ground as what I saw from the game there, Pistol. But he looks to be absolutely like the number one option in terms of scoring potential from these rookies if you do need to downgrade. Ideally, we don't have these guys on field, and ideally you do have some cover. But if it becomes one of those situations where you need one of these guys to potentially fill a hole, he would be the number one. He's also... let me just double check to make sure I'm not right. Yeah, he's bargain basement price mid forward as well. So he's got literally all the boxes ticked. 102K there as well, Pistol. Noah Cumberland, the sausage, kicked a few snags on the weekend as well for the Tigers, Pistol. Mid forward again, 123,900 for the Tigers. So he's another option that you could certainly be looking at. And beyond that, Pistol, I think there's just a lot of... I think it was Carmichael for Collingwood, but he couldn't hit the side of a barn door with his by foot on the weekend. So hey. I'm not sure he's the type that you want on field. What did he have? I'm just going to look.
No, look, honestly, I think he's got the highest upside, even more than Cully. Cully was, I mean, this also might be biased talking. I'll put that out there first, but Cully had like a very, very contested game. He had 12 disposals, but he had 11 contested possessions and 7 clearances with 11 tackles. Like that's just pure bulk inside work.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you do that, as we saw earlier in the season with some of these rookies, like you can just get killed in the midfield and then not score. And you can have a really bad game. Whereas Carmichael is a bit more of an accumulator type than Cully is. And that means that he has, you know, 100 plus spike game potential. He had 111 dream team in 63% time on ground. So that was 24 touches, but he had 24 kicks. So that's great for Supercoach when you don't handball. Not great for Supercoach when you have 10 clangers.
Yeah.
That's not great. But honestly, I think the upside is there for both of them. I would say Cully's bought himself games to the end of the season just with that performance, so he might probably be the safe one. I think Carmichael can still be dropped at some stage. Wouldn't expect it to be next week, but he definitely might not make it into, you know, your Supercoach finals. So Cully feels a bit safer from that perspective. Cumberland was good, but I why would you pay the 20k more when you can get cheaper for Cully?
Exactly. And yep.
Unfortunately, Tyler Sonsi was ruined for us. Thought he passed the eye test, 59 Supercoach, nothing special, but I wanted to start him next season because he looks like he's going to be a decent player in the future. So a bit upset about that one. But yeah, not going to end up in any of our teams this year.
Carmichael, mid-forward, 102, 400 as well. So I guess you go on scoring potential and, you know, potential to be on field in terms of Carmichael or... I'll ask this to you direct. The way that you framed that, these two are the same price, they have the same DPP.
Mm.
It sounds like you like Carmichael more than Cully.
I like Carmichael's scoring potential more than I like Cully, but I like Cully's job security more than I like Carmichael. I guess it depends what you value. This might not be... like, you might have Taranto M9 like myself, and then why does it matter, I guess, if like... it matters less if Carmichael's dropped or not. So you could just go with like, oh yeah, I'll just pick him and he might... play really well and have high scoring potential for the rest of the season, that's fine. Or, you know, I mean, Cully still scored 90. I don't know if he's going to have as good of the games he just had for the rest of the season, but 90 is pretty impressive anyway. So I think both good picks. You're not really going to go wrong at bargain basement price with good scoring potential.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish we had these guys at the beginning of the year, but that's not how the mid-season draft works, obviously. That would be, it would have been great if they could have even just held off till next season.
Yeah, well, I'm going to trade Machida Owens for the third time this year so I can bring in Carmichael so I don't have to play Hoff on the field. Oh, my God. I was going to Hoff up a lung. Oh, watching that performance. That was terrible. Pistol, we might as well go through. I'm just moving straight on. Some VC and C options moving straight into the week. Laird was
did
my
you
big
not
one.
Hear me earlier about my C and VC options? You don't want my advice for this.
Yeah, no, that's why I was talking over the top of you.
Please.
I would ordinarily think that Laird is just a fantastic, safe VC option. Against Sydney, they're opting to do forwardy type tags this year, so it makes me less scared that they're going to send Ryan Clark to him, but he's just been so phenomenal this year. I think that when you look at the rebounding defenders that the Crows have versus trying to shut down
Dawson?
Someone like Led, would you send a tag to Dawson? I'm not sure.
I mean, Dawson will go forward.
I mean, he has been,
so it's hard to tag him.
Yeah, and they are opting for that trade, the trade off of tagging in the forward line there. So, but potentially they do. But I still think VC Laird is a really, really safe option. He's having an incredible year. Pistol, that leads us into... we've got Saturday games, Saturday night games, Lions, Dogs, Melbourne. Quite a lot of options there. Even on the Sunday evening, we've got Steel against West Coast. Who are you liking?
Look, I'm going to just say names because that's what I've currently got. I'm thinking if Oliver's back, I'm just going to do Oliver... because it's nice and makes me feel happy. I know Neil is probably going to be very good as well, but I feel like Oliver, it's been really good form. I'm not going to overthink it this time. And Merritt against Collingwood. Merritt's in really good form. I don't think Parrish is going to be back. Collingwood give up midfield numbers to anyone that wants to score against them. You know, Laird last week, obviously 150 plus. So Merritt could have a field day. The only other one that stands out to me is like kind of a unique captaincy option that could do really well is Sinclair. I think against West Coast, there'll just be a lot of room down back for him to just collect a lot of the cheap ball. And he's been putting out some 130 plus scores lately, quite a few of them. Unless he gets tagged, I feel like he's going to score really well as well. So that's probably my POD option that I will not take this week because it ruined me this week. But again, I have not claimed to be good at captaincy options for the best part of 15 weeks. So I definitely follow JB's advice, which he will give on the Thursday podcast.
Yeah.
For Patriot
only. he's always consistently up on Nico's what's it called, the captaincy
rankings,
captaincy cup or something. He always seems to have his name in there somewhere, so JB needs to start sharing some tips. I think that's what he shares, and
the problem is I don't listen to them. Maybe I should sign up to our Patreon so I can listen to JB's advice. I think we've gone full circle.
That's fair, because you don't listen to your own advice half the time.
It's true. No, it's called me out now. That's going to go trade in Dacos. Yep.
All right, Pistol, not Maynard. That's the end of the Round 18 wrap-up. Thanks for sitting down with me, mate. If you want to find us on the socials, you can find the main page at @Doctor_SC. You can find me at @Chizo_DRSC, Pistol at @Pistol_DRSC, and JB at @JB_DRSC. And I do want to give a special shout-out. We get a lot of maybe some tweets and some messages on Slack. I want to give a shout out to Mark that sent us an old school email asking what the hell happened with your VC and C this week, Pistol, and a nice "he chose poorly." That's Indiana Jones meme there. And I like it when we get some of these old school contacts that from right back from day one that are still following us. So thanks for checking in, Mark. Pistol, and everyone at home listening, thank you. Even if you're driving on the way to work, thanks for listening. Good luck in round 19 as we're starting to get towards the tail end of the year. I've been Chizo. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.